Welcome to LabCorp Perspectives Oncology, where we connect on cancer, science, and patient care. I'm your host, Dr. Rebecca Previs, and I'm the Senior Medical Director at LabCorp Oncology. I'm thrilled to be joined today by Mira Hallman-Peran, who is a cancer thriver and about a year ago was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. Mira, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This is exciting.
Yes. So let's just jump right in. I think, you know, you're 16, recently turned 16. Yeah. Happy birthday. But tell us a little bit about yourself, what you like to do, what makes you you, you know, outside of this whole cancer diagnosis thing.
Well, I mean, that is a pretty big part, but I like singing. I work as a lifeguard. I play piano, although my dad would disagree. I like to sing with guitar. I play guitar a little bit. I like reading, hang out with my friends, and biking, and just normal stuff.
Yeah, normal stuff. And you're going into 11th grade next year, right?
I am, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I want to kind of rewind before your cancer diagnosis. Maybe what was a typical day like for you kind of back then?
I mean, it wasn't so different from now. There was a lot less to worry about and a lot less good of a college essay to think about. I had all the same hobbies and now I know new people and I have a different outlook on life, but I'm still the same person. It's still me. Yeah.
Yeah. So when would you say that you first realized that something wasn't exactly right?
So, well, what happened, I went on a trip for youth group to DC in January of 2025, like the end of January into early February. And that's when I noticed some like lymph node swelling, but it wasn't terrible. And although it did hurt really bad, I went to the urgent care and I got a mono test and the mono test came back positive. So for 6 months, we went believing I had mono. And because I had type A of lymphoma, which it's basically asymptomatic except for your lymph nodes growing, I just thought that it was Epstein-Barr virus or something causing my lymph nodes to keep growing, but I wasn't feeling any sickness. So it was just really confusing for me and for my mom to pursue anything because I didn't have any typical cancer symptoms, but yeah.
So except for those like swelling right in your neck, those lymph nodes,
yeah.
You felt otherwise kind of tired, I remember.
Just a bit. Again, that's another thing associated with mono. So like my fatigue and my lymph node swelling and maybe my like, I didn't have as much athletic ability, but that's all associated with mono and Epstein-Barr and just a lot of stuff that like nobody thought that it was cancer. There was like zero possibility in my mind that that's what was going on. But
and so then walk us through kind of what then led to your cancer diagnosis.
Well, it had gotten to the point where like, because I'm a lifeguard, kids at the pool were commenting on like, why are your traps so huge? Because they thought that I was just like worked out a lot or something. But I don't work out. I knew something was wrong. And I told my mom, I really want to pursue like figuring out what this is. It's bothering me. And we went to like 4 or 5 different places. I got an ultrasound. I got like scans. I got blood tests, stuff like that. And all of it was inconclusive. And then finally, I got a biopsy. And it was completely normal. And then that's how we found out. Like everything had just, we didn't know. And cancer was barely even a possibility in our minds. And then, yeah, I don't know.
So was that biopsy that the doctor ended up taking of your lymph node in your neck that ultimately diagnosed you with Hodgkin's lymphoma? And so then when you received that news, kind of walk me through that day and what was going through your mind at that time?
Well, you were there. Well, I was at work and my mom came and picked me up. She was a couple minutes early, but I didn't think very much of it. I just clocked out and I got in the car. And I remember she was a little stressed. She kind of looked pale, but I didn't think much of it. And then I got home and you and my dad and my stepdad and my mom were all sitting around the table and I knew that something had happened. And then my mom broke the news to me. And honestly, it didn't feel real to me at first. Like cancer is such a foreign thing like that. Before, I never would have thought that that would happen to me or anyone in my life. And then it didn't feel real. Like it felt like that would never have happened to me. And then it did, which yeah.
And what was going through your mind? Do you even remember?
I mean, as you also remember, the first thing I did was walk to the fridge and get a block of cheese and eat it straight from the block. No knife, no fork, no anything. I think honestly, this is sounds vain, but the first thing I cried about was losing my hair. I mean, just like a teenage girl, you're not going to want to lose your hair. And I especially, like, I had such thick hair, and it was like down to the middle of my back, and it was really dark and curly. And just like the thought of losing that, it's like part of my identity. And that just like, that made me really sad. But it still hadn't really like set in, this is cancer, like this is going to be the next 6 months of my life.
Yeah. And I think you said your hair, that sounds like it was maybe the hardest part initially, but what would you say kind of surprised you the most about this whole new cancer diagnosis?
I think, honestly, it was positive. I think it made everything in my life more connected. Like previously, where there were like rifts between people or like different groups of people that just hadn't really met or come together, it was like everyone, like, this doesn't happen. This is like, this is the time for community. And everyone in my life just kind of banded together. And it wasn't like anyone versus anyone. It was like everyone versus cancer, I guess. And it gave me like a big sense of like connection with everyone, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone was Team Mira.
Yeah. Team Mira. Yeah.
We have shirts, actually.
We do.
So then, you know, it sounds like your community and family and everyone that was connected to you bonded around you. I mean, how did cancer then and maybe now, but most importantly, I guess then, how did it impact your relationships and school and all of your activities? You're such a busy kid.
Yeah. Well, I mean, initially, my doctor honestly didn't want me to go to in-person school, but I was determined. I didn't want it to take away from being a kid, and I wanted to do as much as I could to be a normal Mira. Like, I didn't want to be cancer Mira. I wanted to just be Mira. So I think I tried as hard as I could to not let it affect my relationships or my school or any of my experiences. And I was supposed to wear a mask, but it just like, I think that I didn't let it affect as much as it could have. I think that I took a lot of steps. So like, I planned things ahead, and I would ask if things not be on the weekends of chemo. And I did go to in-person school, and I tried to do as much schoolwork as I could. And I think that, yeah, going into it with a mindset of like, this is not going to affect me really helped it not affect me as much.
Yeah.
During like personal stuff. Yeah.
You even managed to be in your school musical.
Yeah. I was in the musical. I went to the school dances, and I still went to like football games and after school activities and stuff. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you really, I think, proved what it was like to live with cancer while you're being treated. What would you kind of tell other teens who, gosh, what if they were diagnosed with a similar thing? What advice would you give them?
I think, like I was saying, just going into it with that mindset of this isn't going to kill me. This isn't going to affect my life. Even if it is, even if it does end up taking everything away from you and like, even if you do end up dying of this horrible sickness, I think just what helped me and what can help anyone is just thinking about it like you need to stay as normal as you can. Like, you need to continue your activities, and you need to push yourself, because you're just gonna, it's gonna get you if you don't, and you're gonna like succumb to all the sadness and the like terrible things around you if you go in with the mindset of this is going to change everything, and you have to stay strong. Yeah, that's, I mean, it really helps me, and I want to help as many people as I can.
Yeah, and I've been so privileged to know Mira for a really long time. Yeah. And I would say, you know, this experience has changed you, but not that much.
No, yeah.
I think, how would you describe kind of that change?
I think that it gave me a new understanding of life. And like, when I was a kid, I always used to say that I wanted to be like a Victorian princess, but I know that that wouldn't have worked out. I would be dead by now. And it just gave me a different, like, I don't know, appreciation. Like, my peers, and not a lot of people that I walk around every day, have faced the same things that I have, but I still am present, and I'm still happy, and I'm still living. And it just, like, I think it kind of put me to the test, like put my, not even just physical willpower, but just like mentally, like how much I could take. And it, like, God gives his strongest soldiers his hardest battles. And I think that that kind of stuck with me. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely harder than a chemistry test.
Definitely.
So what have you learned about yourself that maybe you didn't know before?
I think that, I mean, like I was saying, that I kind of learned how much I can be presented with. And I think that I think I can applaud myself for handling the situation well. And I think that, I mean, I now understand what I can do and what I can't, like in terms of physically, like for a while I couldn't do much at all. And now I understand, like, even with cancer, I was able to do the musical. I was able to go for walks and stuff like that. And I think I look at myself differently now too. I think before cancer, I was really self-critical. Like I always thought that I wasn't enough for myself. And I always found something to nitpick. And I don't think I ever thought of myself as good enough. And then losing that, like I gained weight and I lost all my hair. And then like, I remember looking at myself in the mirror and being like, oh my God, I wish that I could go back in time and tell myself like I was beautiful. And I think that now I have like a newfound appreciation, even though my hair is short, like at least I have hair. And I have acne again. And like, my fingernails are strong again and stuff like that. And like, I have the privilege of shaving my legs. And I don't know, I just there, I have this, like, I think self-appreciation that I didn't have before also.
Tell your funny story about your eyebrows, because I think that really humanizes the cancer experience.
Well, I mean, like, obviously, as a teenage girl, you're going to want to, like, do makeup to try and hide the fact that you're bald. So every day I would do temporary tattoo eyebrows, and I'd wake up. Sometimes they'd be wonky, and it would look like I was doing, like, weird faces. Sometimes, like, half of one would have fallen off, and I didn't have a spare, and I just had to be walking around school, like, oh, hey, guys. There were a lot of experiences like that. And I remember one morning, my eyebrows were coming back in very prickly. And I was on court for my last school dance. So I had to be there early in the morning just to, like, get ready to prep. And my eyebrows were prickling through, and I could not get my fake eyebrow stick on. And I was having a meltdown, and I was late, and it sucked so bad. And I'm so thankful that I have real eyebrows now.
I guess you've transitioned back to normal life.
Yeah.
You were able to ring the bell, you know, and that signifies kind of the cancer-free, NED, no evidence of disease. What's it been like transitioning back to this kind of cancer-free, thriving life?
I mean, it feels great. Like, I think there are a lot of, like, I got my period back. I have lost some of the weight I gained from chemo, obviously. My hair is coming back. It almost like I can see the sickness leaving my body as well as feel it. And, like, I don't know, as much as I love my team of doctors, like, I appreciate not having to go to the hospital all the time. And, like, the worst thing ever is, like, after you have chemo and then you get a fever, because with a port, blood infection is much higher risk than someone without a port. And I think that's some of the worst memories of my life. Like, just getting home from chemo and my mom taking my temperature, and I'm at, like, 1 degree above normal, and I have to go straight back to the hospital. I'm really thankful that I got my port surgery and I don't have to do any of that anymore. And I think my stamina is back, and I am not sleeping as much, and just I'm glad I can be a normal teenager again. I can sleep at other people's houses for once, because my mom isn't worried sick that something will happen in the middle of the night, and I can drive now. That's not cancer related, but I did get my license, and just like, it feels like it's like a new chapter in my life. Like, I've moved on, which is great.
And you did a really hard hike with your dad.
I did, in Shenandoah. And I think that really put my physical ability to the test. I was like, it was so hard.
But you did it.
I did it.
So I guess now all of this is behind you. It's always with you, but in the past, rearview mirror, I guess, what are you so excited about looking ahead now?
I mean, I've been touring colleges lately, and like I said earlier, my college essay is going to be pretty good. I'm just excited for next school year, not having to worry about like missing school a lot. That was like a big thing for me this year. I had to switch out of some classes just because I needed to go to the less advanced levels because I was missing a lot of school. I'm looking forward to normal social stuff, like not being able to go to people's birthday parties or sleepovers or stuff. That sucked. And like, now especially now that I can drive and I have a lot more independence, and I don't know, I'm really looking forward to just like being a normal kid again. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What would Mira today tell Mira right on the day you were diagnosed? What would she reach back and say?
I think Well, I think in general, it's really important if you're going through this to have someone to talk to. And I'm lucky that I did, but I think that I would have told myself, like, not that it's not going to ruin everything for me and it's not going to kill me and that I just shouldn't be afraid. And I should go into it with the mindset that I did. Like, this is not going to change me forever. This is not going to ruin everything. I have to stay normal and to tell myself, I mean, also to tell myself to appreciate myself while I can, like, to still love my hair, even if it's frizzy, and to still, like, appreciate the fact that even though my eyebrows don't all go in the same direction, that I have eyebrows and stuff like that. And I think that I handled it well. And I think that it would have been nice to have myself to talk to, but I hope that I can be that for someone else. Hopefully on the day that they get diagnosed, that I can help them through it. Yeah.
And you've already been doing that, I think, talking with other kids who have cancer and sharing your story. And I think we have to give a shout out to your incredible team of doctors.
Oh, 100%. My doctors are the best. Emma and Smitty, Emma is my fellow and Smitty was my main oncologist. And they are, like, the best people you'll ever meet. And they, like, as much as obviously I didn't look forward to going to the hospital because it was chemo, but they made the experience so fun. And, like, I don't know. We have pictures of our wiggling our feet together, or, like, I would be, like, singing in my hospital bed. And it's just, like, I feel like doctors, you wouldn't think that they're important for your experience, but they're so, like, pivotal. I feel like if I didn't have Emma or Smitty, then, like, my experience would have been so different. And, like, even with the sometimes, like, 9-hour days at chemo, I just, like, I got to talk to Emma all the time, and we found out that we had the same foot size, and that, like, our dads are from the same place, and that, like, I just think that there's a lot of importance in, like, having doctors that you can talk to, and like, it was fun. They made it a good experience. And, like, on the day of my bell ringing, they wrote a Flo Rida song that, like, they didn't do this for me, but we sang a Flo Rida song that's, like, I beat cancer. And, like, it's just, they made the hospital a fun experience. And, like, that's so important, especially for children. And that's, yeah. I'm so glad that I had the doctors that I did. And I don't know how to recommend doctors to people, but if I were to, I would recommend mine.
Yeah, they were definitely an incredible team. Mm-hmm. I think it makes all the difference to have, you know, your family, community, your friends, but also that medical team that's mm-hmm. just behind your back. So,
yeah.
What do you wish maybe doctors understood about patients with cancer?
I think there are a lot of things that, I mean, you won't understand until you do have cancer. And I think my doctors, at least, were very understanding and very empathetic. And I don't know. I think the best thing to know is just everyone is different, and not everyone is going to, like, I don't know how to give advice to a doctor. I'm not a doctor, but, like, I know my friend, he is doing the same exact chemotherapy treatment as me, but he couldn't take some of the medicines because he reacted poorly to them. His body, like, rejected them, and his body rejected his port the first time. And I just think that some people, I mean, you're going through the same thing, but some people just respond differently. And then I think that doctors should be accommodating to that. But yeah.
Well, they teach you in med school, you know, cancer and different diseases don't read the textbook. So mm-hmm. everyone's a little different.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. their own unique journey and then how they respond.
Yeah.
Well, you're so courageous for sharing your story. I mean, it's been such a privilege for me to watch you through this journey and see how it's shaped you and changed you. I mean, are there any, you're so wise to be 16. I think you were wise before, though, an old soul. Any parting words or wisdom you want to share with us?
Another thing that I'm really thankful for, this isn't something that everyone has, but I'm really thankful that I had doctors in my family and people that had a lot of connections, like you and my uncle David and stuff like that. And, like, I remember there was this one day I was inpatient. This was my first chemo. And then I was taking this medicine, and it's for my fertility rates, and because one day I'll want to have kids. And then Smitty said something like, there's, like, a 10 or 15% chance that she will still be infertile. And then I remember, like, starting to bawl my eyes out, and my mom was really upset. And then he closed the door, and Uncle David looks at me, and he was like, you can't be medically certain, but I'm medically certain. And it's, like, I really appreciate having that factor of, like, there's stuff that they won't say maybe that you can, and like stuff that I appreciate that, like, I don't know. That's not something that everyone is gonna have, but that's just something I wanted to show my appreciation for.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us and for your time. I'm incredibly proud of you. I know your whole family is, your dad, your mom, your stepdad, your grandparents. We just all are so grateful for you being our bright light and coming out on the other side. You've made us all stronger, I think, as a family, and we'll never think about cancer in the same light. So
yeah,
thanks so much for joining us today. And thank you to our audience for joining us. And we hope that you'll join us next time on LabCorp Perspectives Oncology.